Today is the seventh day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's wonderful to be here with you today as we gather, like we do, around the global campfire and find a place and keep warm and exhale all the stress and cares of this life for a bit and just let God's word come washing into our hearts and minds. And so let's do that. We're reading from the Christian Standard Bible this week, moving back out into the book of Deuteronomy. And today we will read chapters 31, verse 1, through 32, verse 27. Then Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, saying, I am now 120 years old. I can no longer act as your leader. The Lord has told me, you will not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God is the one who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will drive them out. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, as the Lord has said. The Lord will deal with them as he did Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will deliver them over to you, and you must do to them exactly as I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. For the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. He will not leave you or abandon you. Moses then summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and courageous. For you will go with this people into the land the Lord swore to give to their ancestors. You will enable them to take possession of it. The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or abandon you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Lord's covenant, and to all the elders of Israel. Moses commanded them, At the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of debt cancellation, during the festival of shelters, when all Israel assembles in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he chooses, you are to read this law aloud before all Israel. Gather the people, men, women, dependents, and the resident aliens within your city gates, so that they may listen and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to follow all the words of this law. Then their children, who do not know the law, will listen and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. The Lord said to Moses, The time of your death is now approaching. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting so that I may commission him. When Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent of meeting, the Lord appeared at the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the cloud stood at the entrance to the tent. The Lord said to Moses, You are about to rest with your ancestors, and these people will soon prostitute themselves with the foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will abandon me and break the covenant I have made with them. My anger will burn against them on that day. I will abandon them and hide my face from them so that they will become easy prey. Many troubles and afflictions will come to them. On that day they will say, Haven't these troubles come to us because our God is no longer with us? I will certainly hide my face on that day because of all the evil they have done by turning to other gods. Therefore, write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the Israelites. Have them sing it, so that this song may be a witness for me against the Israelites. When I bring them into the land I swore to give their ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey, they will eat their fill and prosper. They will turn to other gods and worship them, despising me and breaking my covenant. And when many troubles and afflictions come to them, this song will testify against them because their descendants will not have forgotten it. For I know what they are prone to do, even before I bring them into the land I swore to give them. So Moses wrote down this song on that day and taught it to the Israelites. The Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, "Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I swore to them, and I will be with you." When Moses had finished writing down on a scroll every single word of this law, he commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, "Take this book of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, so that it may remain there as a witness against you. For I know how rebellious and stiff-necked you are. If you are rebelling against the Lord now, while I am still alive, how much more will you rebel after I am dead? Assemble all your tribal elders and officers before me so that I may speak these words directly to them and call heaven and earth as witnesses against them. For I know that after my death, you will become completely corrupt and turn from the path I have commanded you. Disaster will come to you in the future because you will do what is evil in the Lord's sight, angering him with what your hands have made." And Moses recited aloud every single word of this song to the entire assembly of Israel. "Pay attention, heavens, and I will speak. Listen, earth, to the words from my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words settle like dew, like gentle rain on new grass and showers on tender plants. For I will proclaim the Lord's name, declare the greatness of our God. The rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God, without bias. He is righteous and true. His people have acted corruptly toward him. This is their defect. They are not his children, but a devious and crooked generation. Is this how you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Isn't he your father and creator? Didn't he make you and sustain you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of past generations. Ask your father, and he will tell you. Your elders, and they will teach you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance and divided the human race, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the people of Israel. But the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his own inheritance. He found him in a desolate land, in a barren, howling wilderness. He surrounded him, cared for him, and protected him as the pupil of his eye. He watches over his nest like an eagle and hovers over his young. He spreads his wings, catches him, and carries him on his feathers. The Lord alone led him, with no help from a foreign god. He made him ride on the heights of the land and eat the produce of the field. He nourished him with honey from the rock and oil from flinty rock, curds from the herd and milk from the flock, with the fat of lambs, rams from Bashan, and goats, with the choicest grains of wheat. You drank wine from the finest grapes. Then Jeshurun became fat and rebelled. You became fat, bloated, and gorged. He abandoned the God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. They provoked his jealousy with different gods. They enraged him with detestable practices. They sacrificed to demons, not God, to gods they had not known, new gods that had just arrived, which your ancestors did not fear. You ignored the rock who gave you birth. You forgot the God who gave birth to you. When the Lord saw this, he despised them, angered by his sons and daughters. He said, "I will hide my face from them. I will see what will become of them, for they are a perverse generation, unfaithful children. They have provoked my jealousy with what is not a god. They have enraged me with their worthless idols. So I will provoke their jealousy with what is not a people. I will enrage them with a foolish nation, for fire has been kindled because of my anger and burns to the depths of Sheol. It devours the land and its produce and scorches the foundations of the mountains. I will pile disasters on them. I will use up my arrows against them. They will be weak from hunger, ravaged by pestilence and bitter plague. I will unleash on them wild beasts with fangs, as well as venomous snakes that slither in the dust. Outside, the sword will take their children, and inside there will be terror. The young man and the young woman will be killed, the infant and the gray-haired man. I would have said, I will cut them to pieces and blot out the memory of them from mankind, if I had not feared provocation from the enemy, or feared that these foes might misunderstand and say, our own hand has prevailed. It wasn't the Lord who did all this. Luke 12, 8 through 34. And I say to you, anyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Whenever they bring you before synagogues and rulers and authorities, don't worry about how you should defend yourselves or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what must be said. Someone from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Friend, he said to him, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you? He then told them, watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions. Then he told them a parable. A rich man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, what should I do since I don't have anywhere to store my crops? I will do this, he said. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and my goods there. Then I'll say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life is demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? That's how it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about the body, what you will wear, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have a storeroom or a barn, yet God feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than the birds? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? If then you are not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass, which is in the field today and is thrown into the furnace tomorrow, how much more will he do for you, you of little faith? Don't strive for what you should eat and what you should drink, and don't be anxious. For the Gentile world eagerly seeks all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Make money bags for yourself that won't grow old. An inexhaustible treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Psalm 78, 32 through 55. Despite all this, they kept sinning and did not believe his wondrous works. He made their days end in futility, their years in sudden disaster. When he killed some of them, the rest began to seek him. They repented and searched for God. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. But they deceived him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Their hearts were insincere toward him, and they were unfaithful to his covenant. Yet he was compassionate. He atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. He often turned his anger aside and did not unleash all his wrath. He remembered that they were only flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the deserts. They constantly tested God and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power shown on the day he redeemed them from the foe, when he performed his miraculous signs in Egypt and his wonders in the territory of Zoan. He turned their rivers into blood, and they could not drink from their streams. He sent among them swarms of flies, which fed on them, and frogs, which devastated them. He gave their crops to the caterpillar, and the fruit of their labor to the locust. He killed their vines with hail and their sycamore fig trees with a flood. He handed over their livestock to hail and their cattle to lightning bolts. He sent his burning anger against them, fury, indignation, and calamity, a band of deadly messengers. He cleared a path for his anger. He did not spare them from death, but delivered their lives to the plague. He struck all the firstborn in Egypt, the first progeny of the tents of Ham. He led his people out like sheep and guided them like a flock in the wilderness. He led them safely and they were not afraid, but the sea covered their enemies. He brought them into his holy territory, to the mountain his right hand acquired. He drove out nations before them. He apportioned their inheritance by lot and settled the tribes of Israel in their tents. Proverbs 12, 21 through 23. No disaster overcomes the righteous, but the wicked are full of misery. Lying lips are detestable to the Lord, but faithful people are his delight. A shrewd person conceals knowledge, but a foolish heart publicizes stupidity. Okay, so there are plenty of things we could talk about today, but we really need to focus in on what Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke. Because what Jesus said today is very, very famous. Very famous. But it is like it's the key to living. It's the posture that if we're in that posture, living from that space that he is describing, if we're living from there, then we are on the right path. And I wish this might sound weird, but I wish there was some way that Jesus could say this to us. His voice, I don't know what his voice sounds like or sounded like, but maybe we would listen. Maybe we would listen, even though we've heard this 1,000 times, because when we revisit this, we're going to know whether this is what our life looks like or not. And if it's not what our lives look like, then some things need to change. And this is one of the times in the scriptures where me trying to bring context or explain what the meaning might be here is so irrelevant. He said it so clear. And so I just want to repeat what Jesus said, and in whatever voice Jesus speaks to you, I hope you hear it from Jesus, because he said this, and we have put all of our faith and hope in him, and we have believed that what we're doing here is being transformed into his likeness, that we are being made Christ-like, that what we're supposed to look like is what he looked like. And so we simply need to listen to what he has to say and ask ourselves if our lives look like that. And so, this is what Jesus has to say to us today. I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about the body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have a storeroom or a barn. Yet God feeds them. Aren't you worth more than the birds? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? If then you are not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothed the grass, which is in the field today and is thrown into the furnace tomorrow, how much more will he do for you, you of little faith? Don't strive for what you should eat and what you should drink, and don't be anxious. For the Gentile world eagerly seeks all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. That is so beautiful. And what that does not mean is that we just go, oh, okay, great, and exhale, I'm going to take a nap and shirk all my responsibilities and just let God take care of me. What Jesus is saying is, don't strive after these things, making them the focus, even the God of your life. Your heavenly Father already knows. Seek the kingdom where you are with what you have. Do what you are doing. Do what you can do, knowing that it's going to be okay. And all of this stress and anxiety that are inside of you, twisting your insides continually and making you lose sleep and making it even worse, doesn't do anything. That doesn't do anything. Your Father knows what you need. I hear this every year. Every year, it's one of the things that I take steps back and reflect upon my own life because it's not my nature. My nature is to look out in front of me and find the 10 things that can go wrong and be prepared for them, even though none of them happen. And then I have to examine how much anxiety goes into that, how much energy goes into that, when the Lord knows the 10 things and the 1,000 other things, and he doesn't have an upset stomach, and he's not losing sleep because it's all his, and we are his children, heirs to this kingdom, so it's all ours too. It simply requires eyes to see and ears to hear, a different way of looking at things. Looking at things from within, inside out, not outside circumstances bubbling in and bringing us anxiety. It's this depth of hope and love within that spills out into these situations and changes them. Otherwise, the circumstances are flying at us faster than we can even comprehend. And what they are bringing to us is putting anxiety within. We're living backwards to the way that Jesus is modeling things for us. So may we seek the kingdom, and these things will be provided for us. Holy Spirit, that is a deep, deep desire. And we continually wonder if we are doing it, or if we're doing it well, or how does it look? What is it supposed to look like? When you are continually telling us to be aware and vigilant and looking around us and bringing the good news, being your hands and feet in this world to anyone, being fully aware that everyone is invited. Come, Holy Spirit, into this we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home. That's home base. It's the website. It's where you can find out what's going on around here. Of course, the Daily Audio Bible app allows you to do exactly that as well. And you can download the Daily Audio Bible app free from whatever app store is connected to the device that you use. And so check that out. Check out the different sections, like the community section. That's where the prayer wall lives. Check out the resources that are available in the Daily Audio Bible shop. They are there for the journey that we are on. And that is the journey that takes us through a year. But it also takes us through every chapter and every verse and every word that's in the Bible. And what a journey it is. So, yeah, check out the resources that are available in the app or on the web. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, well, first of all, thank you. Thank you with all humility. We would not be here if we were not in this together. And that's what makes this a community experience. And so thank you. Thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or there are a number of numbers that you can call. If you're in the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to dial. If you are in the UK or Europe, 442036-088078 is the number to dial. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to call. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, family. Requesting continued prayer for my daughter, Genesis. She's 12 years old. As you know, she has a history of suicidal ideation. I did put her with professional counseling. And recently, she confessed to me that she was cutting. So, of course, I looked at it, and I was just really asking God to keep me together. But I need prayer for family. Prayer for her, that God would rest her spirit and protect her and keep her from harming herself, and will give her a sense of identity in Him, that He will grant her godly friends, at least one or two. She doesn't have friends, and at age 12, that's very difficult. She's very angry, family, very angry, and I get it. But I need discernment, and I really need a lot of discernment and wisdom to know how to handle her and love her through this process until God rescues her for me. Thank you, family, for helping me pray for my daughter's salvation and deliverance. Her name is Genesis. Thank you.
Hi, this is Susan from Mississippi. I've called back last year, November-ish, I think, and I was calling about my son and his wife who are on drugs. And We have adopted their baby, who will be two at the end of this month, April. And I'm calling because, you know, they're still struggling to get their act together, but it's better. But it's not that I'm calling about today. I'm calling about my other children. I have four boys, and the other three, I don't know really what you can call it. I know they're upset because their parents have had to take on a child at our age, but they're taking it out on the child. They don't want to participate in activities with her. They don't want us to even bring her over. They just want to pretend that she doesn't exist. And it's not her fault, and I don't know what they expected us to do, because we couldn't just leave her for the system. So my prayer is not only to help us raise her, but to also help my son and his wife to get better so that they eventually will be able to take her back, but also for my other three to be on board with us, not financially, not babysitting, just to be around her and to love her, because again, it's not her fault. So I just ask for prayers for all around, for all of us, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. God loves you. Bye.
My name is Dana from South Carolina, and I'm calling in to pray for the little girl, Annie, that requested prayer for her brother. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would surround him with people that know you. And I pray, dear Lord, that he would have a true encounter with you. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would remove the scales from his eyes, God, and draw him closer to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bring him home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, DAB family. I wanted to call in and pray for Ben and Sarah, who are in Liberia right now, waiting on the adoption of their child. And I had heard them, Ben, call in several months ago, and just felt called to pray. So God, thank you so much for Ben and Sarah's faithfulness, God, and willingness to be obedient in adopting this child, God. We know that it's a very hard and stressful thing to go through, God, but we know that you called them to it, and we thank you that they're willing to, go across the world, Lord, because you told them to, God. So I just pray for peace over them. I pray joy over them, God. I pray protection. I pray healing. Pray against any attacks of the enemy, God. Just keep them safe while they're waiting, God. Keep their child safe, Lord. And I just pray that you move the process along, God. And we know it's all in your hands. I pray for the right people to get the right documents, God, for everything to flow smoothly, God. I pray for, just the process. And I just pray for the waiting for Ben and Sarah. I know it has to be so difficult to just be waiting for their child and wondering and unsure, God. But I just pray that they can just feel your peace, God, and know that it's all in your hands, because this is what you've called them to. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. You did it. You did it. You brought me through. You did it, you did it, you brought me through.
I had a bad night last night, but I was able to eventually get some sleep. And when I woke up this morning, that's the ditty that was going through my head. And when I walked out into the kitchen, the sun was just rising, and the light in the treetops was just gorgeous. And I found myself saying, "Oh, Daddy, the light, it's so beautiful." And I realized that I was having a very prophetic moment, because every sunrise is prophetic. It's a promise that he will get us through. He will get us all the way through to that resurrection morning. And we will gasp, "Oh, Daddy, the light, it's so beautiful," after all the darkness that we've been through. So I just wanted to call and share that. to encourage us that he will get us through. Love you guys.